I'd invite you to turn again tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And just while you're looking it up, I'd like to thank the session and committee of this church and the Reverend Martin and the Reverend Douglas for allowing me to be here. It's nice to be back with you. And also to the Bethany Singers for those lovely messages and song that have been such a blessing to my heart, and I'm sure a blessing to your own heart as well. It's always hard to preach in your own home church. The Lord Jesus said that a prophet has got no honour in his own town, and certainly I can testify to that tonight. It's so difficult to come along to people that you know so well, but we trust tonight that the Lord will speak himself and that the Lord will hide this preacher behind the cross, and that you will hear God's voice and you'll hear God's call, and that you'll make a response and trust in the Saviour who loved you and gave himself for you. I'd like to thank you as well for your prayers and continued support with me and for me over these years in college. I was speaking to a man last night that years ago had trained with the Salvation Army, and I think he was in college for 3 years, and he said for the last few months in his semester he had a briefcase, and on that briefcase he had the words written, "I'm living in the last of the last days." And I suppose whenever it comes to your last year in college you can say that. It's hard to believe that 3 years have gone, and I suppose with respect to college life, we're living in the last of the last days. It's not all that terrible, but certainly we have exams to face, and I'd appreciate your prayers. Just over 10 days' time of a Hebrew exam, and I always bring out this old chestnut every time I come to preach, but I would appreciate your prayers for the Hebrew and for this language, and I know that you'll continue to pray for us, and certainly I'm very thankful for that. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to Acts chapter 2, and the text is found in verse 36 of the chapter. Excuse me, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now let's pray that the word of God will take root in our hearts, and tonight that the cross of Christ might be made a glorious reality in your life and in your experience, and that if you're not saved, that you will find yourself by faith at the cross, trusting in God's eternal Son. Let's pray. Our gracious and everlasting Father, we bless thee for the presence of the Lord already in this meeting tonight. Father, we thank thee for the messages and song. Father, what a blessing. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. And Father, it's my earnest prayer tonight that thou wilt send thy Holy Spirit in all his glorious fullness into this meeting, and that thou wilt bring us afresh to the cross. Father, I acknowledge that I have absolutely no inability in and of myself to cause an anxious thought, let alone to reach a sinner's heart. But Father, I thank thee for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I just cast myself upon him, and I pray that he will fill this earthen vessel, and that thou wilt hide me behind the cross. Grant that this preacher's name will perish, but Lord, grant that the name of thy Son will find a resting place in the hearts of many. And I pray that thou wilt save, and that thou wilt glorify thy Son, and that he will save the travail of his soul and be wondrously satisfied as many sons and daughters are brought to glory. We ask these things with a single eye to thine honour and to thy glory, giving thanks in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. You know, the portion of scripture that has been read for us tonight is finding ourselves being drawn into this wonderful experience that Peter has had on the day of Pentecost, and now he's preaching, and he's very simply preaching Christ. This sermon that Peter is preaching is on the backdrop of the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the ascension of God's Son into heaven. Now the disciples for a period of 50 days have been waiting in the upper room praying with one accord that God's promise might be fulfilled and that they will all be filled with the Holy Ghost. God has fulfilled that promise, and Peter and the rest of the disciples in the upper room have experienced a tremendous outpouring of God's Spirit. And Peter, a man that at one time in his life denied the Lord with oaths and with cursings, and for 50 days was shut up in fear and intrepidation of the outside world, has now experienced fresh oil, fresh power, and a fresh anointing to preach the gospel. And so he goes out into the streets and lanes of the city of Jerusalem and begins to preach to those needy people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I want tonight to consider with you the conclusion to that sermon that Peter preached, where Peter says in verse 36, "Therefore," and therefore he's drawing everything to a close now, and he finishes with this wonderfully conclusive statement, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." You know, I think it's a wonderful thing and an amazing thing that right here in this text of Scripture, once again you see God's love and God's mercy and God's grace to the nation and to the house of Israel. Here is a nation that has crucified the Son of God. And yet here's Peter preaching in the fullness of God the Holy Ghost. And God is using him once again to extend an invitation of mercy to this nation that has crucified God's own dear Son. You know, God is so long-suffering. God is so gracious and God is so merciful. And I believe tonight that God has a plan for this nation, as he had all those years ago. And dear sinner, tonight, God has a plan for you. And I believe tonight that God is desirous that you might be saved. And maybe for years you've heard the gospel. For years you've trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant. And here is a preacher seeking to exhort you to trust in Jesus Christ and embrace him as he is offered to you tonight in the gospel. You know, I believe there's coming a day that the house of Israel will know that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Zechariah 12 and verse 10 says that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. In other words, they'll be broken over their sinfulness and broken over a life that's been rejecting the Messiah, the Christ of God, for years. And dear friend, it's my prayer tonight, and it's my desire tonight, and it's my cry unto God that if you're not saved, that you will look upon him whom your sins have pierced, and you will mourn for him and trust him as Savior and Lord and Master. Peter here says, let all the house of Israel know. In other words, let every family, let every household, let every person in the family that they represent know, most assuredly, beyond all shadow of a doubt, this wonderful and startling truth that God the Father, hath made or declared or set forth or appointed his Son, Jesus Christ, to be both Lord and Christ. Let all the house of Israel know most assuredly that this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. Now I just want very simply tonight to take these three titles, Jesus, Christ, and Lord, and just try to very simply unfold them, because so often we sing about them, we utter them, we preach on them, but sometimes we fail to realize just who this man that was hanging upon this cross, whom the house of Israel by wicked hands had crucified and slain, sometimes we forget who he really is. And I just want to take these three titles tonight and relate them to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ the Lord. First of all, Peter makes a statement. And he says, God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified. And he's speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's illustrating the point that they have indeed crucified a man by the name of Jesus. And whenever I think of this title, Jesus, I think about Jesus the man. You see, Jesus Christ was a real man. You remember the angel appeared to his parents and said to them, "Thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It comes from the Hebrew word Joshua. The name Jesus, it just means Savior. And this little child that's going to be brought into the world through the womb of the Virgin Mary is to be given the title or the name Jesus. He's going to be a real person. A person with feelings and emotions just like you and I. And whenever I think about the name Jesus, I think about his humanity. You see, the man that was nailed to a cross was a man. He was known locally as Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son. So often the Bible gives him the title as being the Son of Man. Indeed, as far back as the book of Genesis, just after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, God came to Adam and Eve in the garden and walking in the cool of the day and give a prophecy and preach the gospel to them and said that the Messiah will be the seed of a woman. He's going to be a real, literal man. He had got flesh and bones just like you and I have. He had got feelings and, dear friend, he had emotions. He knew what it was to hunger. He knew what it was to thirst. He knew what it was to grow weary. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to suffer in his body. And I want to tell you tonight that he's able to identify with you just where you are tonight in this meeting. He entered fully into your humanity and into my humanity and into our humanity with the exception that he did not sin. And being a man, he can identify with you just where you are tonight. He can identify with you. You know, I love those words in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, where the Bible says that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You might turn it around and say, we have an high priest who is touched, moved by the very feelings of our weaknesses. You know, whenever people speak against you and malign and blacken your name, Jesus can understand that because he experienced it himself. You know, whenever you're lonely and whenever you find yourself alone and you feel that nobody cares, I believe tonight that Jesus can identify with that because he's experienced it himself. Remember on the cross, the disciples had forsook him and fled and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knows what it is to feel very, very alone. I even forsaken, and maybe tonight you're lonely, and maybe tonight you're downcast and you're discouraged, and you've been let down by friends and let down by family members. Jesus can identify with you. He understands it. And I'll tell you something else, he cares. And he invites you tonight to cast all your care upon him, because he careth for you. Because he is a real man. He knows what it is to be disappointed. He knows what it is to be concerned about family members and about friends. Maybe tonight you've lost a loved one and nobody can identify with you. So often people will stand at a funeral and they'll say, well, you know, I know what you're going through. But really in the reality of it all, nobody fully knows what you're going through in the valley of bereavement. Nobody knows that is except my Savior, Jesus, the man of Calvary. He understands it. He knows tonight exactly what you're going through. Whenever people speak evil of you, he understands and he cares. Whenever you carry burdens, dear friend, he knows all about it. You see, as a man, he is a friend and he is a brother. And here's Peter standing in the streets of Jerusalem and he says, you have taken this man, Jesus, and you have crucified him. You've nailed him to a cross and you know they all had to just lift up their hands and say, that's right, that's what we asked for. We were there whenever Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And we all cried out, let him be crucified. Release unto us Barabbas. And this man, Jesus, hung upon a cross 2,000 years ago outside the city wall of Jerusalem. And as a man, he suffered physically. He suffered physically. You know, Paul said, Jesus died and rose again. Man by the name of Caiaphas prophesied that Jesus should die. And I'll tell you, he suffered as a man. You know, there's so many tonight, and they'll say, well, Christianity's for weak people. It's for sissies. You know, I'll tell you that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was the gutsiest man that ever lived. He set his face one day like a flint to go to Jerusalem, knowing exactly what would befall him there. And as a man, he walked into that city, and as a man, he stood before Pilate. As a man, he was stripped naked. And as the crowd mocked him, do you not think that that hurt his emotions? Do you not think that he felt the pain of that as these people that he had created mocked him and spat upon him, and as a man he felt that spittle landing in his face? I'll tell you, Jesus Christ was the gutsiest man that ever lived. And as they stripped him naked and took a whip and scourged his back, and that whip pulled lumps of flesh out of the Son of God's back, dear friend, he felt it. Don't think for a minute that just because he was God manifest in the flesh, that somehow he rose above it and he didn't feel the pain of it. He did. Because he was every inch a man. Just as you are and just as I am tonight. And as he pulled that beard out of his face, do you not think he felt it? And as men came up and punched him with their fists, do you not think he felt that? As men mocked him, took that crown of thorns and put it upon his brow, I'll tell you, he felt it. And as he carried that heavy street through the heavy cross through the streets of Jerusalem, he felt the weight of that and he felt the burden of that upon his back. And as they laid him out upon that cross and lifted it up between heaven and earth, having driven the spikes through his hands and feet, and dropped that cross into a hole in the ground, and his body was wrenched and every sinew and every nerve ending cried out in pain, I'll tell you, he felt it. And I tell you, that ought to move us tonight. Why did he do it? Because he loved us. We love him because he first loved us. You see, we ought to love him tonight as the man Christ Jesus. And I want to challenge you right here. Do you love Jesus Christ? Can you say, like the bride in the Song of Solomon, I have found him whom my soul loveth. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. I wonder, have you read the story of the cross where Jesus, the man, bled and died, where your debt was paid by the precious blood that flowed from his wounded side? Have you ever got down on your knees and said, I thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me? You know, that's really all that matters tonight, is whether or not you love Jesus Christ. You might be able to say, well, I made a decision one time and it didn't amount to much. Or I've a date written on the front of my Bible. Or I'm a good church attender. Or I've prayed a certain prayer. Listen, answer this question. Do you love him tonight? Because I think about Peter, who's preaching this sermon. He knows all about this. Remember, he denied the Lord with oaths and with cursings. And he went back to the fishing and he took the rest of the disciples with him. And after he got out of the boat and stepped onto the seashore, he was met by the Son of God, who asked him this question, Simon, thou son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He didn't say, Simon, thou son of Jonas, were you sincere all those years ago? He didn't say, Simon, thou son of Jonas, did you really mean it whenever you said you would do anything for me? He didn't say, Simon, thou son of Jonas, look at the mess you've made of things. Look at how you've failed me. Look at how you've desecrated my name. No, he just asks the question, do you love me? You see, that's the acid test of it all. Do you love him tonight? You see, the first and the greatest commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Do you love the man, Christ Jesus, tonight? Because if you don't, you've broken the first and greatest commandment and stamped over your soul as the word condemned and guilty. But Peter goes on to say, therefore, let all the house of Israel know that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You see, not only was he the man Jesus, but he was also the Messiah Christ. You see, the word Christ is not a surname. Whenever I was growing up as a little boy, going to Sunday school and church and different meetings, and I heard the name Jesus Christ, I just thought his Christian name is Jesus and his surname is Christ, just like I'm Roger Higginson, and there's the Reverend Thomas Martin, and I just kind of thought that the name Christ, it was just like a surname. But dear friend, it's a title. It just means the anointed one. It's the Greek rendering of the old Hebrew word for Messiah. And so what it means is that Jesus, Messiah. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah. And so what Peter is saying here is, you have not only crucified a man, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, but do you understand that that man whom you crucified was your Messiah? He was your Christ. He was the one that you have been waiting for 4,000 years. He is the one that all the prophets spoke about. He is the one that David looked forward to. He is the one that Moses spoke about. And you in your blindness, you took him, you nailed him to a cross, and you have crucified your Messiah. You see, whenever I think about Jesus, I think about a man and I think about his humanity. But whenever you think about Christ, the Messiah, you're led to think about his deity. You see, the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You see, it was sin enough that these men had taken the Son of God, who they just thought was a man, but they took God of very gods and they nailed him to the cross. Jesus Christ was given divine names. He displayed divine attributes. He performed divine works. He received divine worship. You see, whenever I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was trusting God. And whenever I come before the Lord Jesus Christ, I am coming to omnipotent, everlasting deity. And I want to tell you that this is the Savior that wants to save you tonight. This is the Savior that's able to save you tonight. Because if he wasn't God, and if he wasn't man, he can't save. But Peter went on to say in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, Jesus suffered as a man physically. But Christ suffered on the cross as Messiah spiritually. What's the gospel? Well, the Bible declares, Paul declares, that the gospel that he preached was that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that Christ was buried according to the scriptures. And that Christ rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Christ died, Messiah died upon the cross. You know, one of the reasons I believe, at any rate, that the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ was that it was entirely inconceivable to their minds that the Messiah should suffer. And yet the Lord Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 22, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be betrayed. And he was speaking about the cross. You see, so many tonight have their own ideas about God's Son. There's so many ideas about this man, Jesus Christ. You know, I meet people all the time and they'll say, well, you know, I have my own little way. And I, you know, I have my own beliefs. And I have my own thoughts about religion. But I want to ask you tonight, what are your thoughts and what are the foundation of those thoughts? I was speaking to a lady just during the week and she says, well, I believe there's one heaven up here for non-Christians. And then there's another heaven over here for Christians. And there's another heaven somewhere else for whatever you believe in. I says, well, answer this. Why do you believe that? Just believe it. See, people serve today a God of their own imagination. And there's so many preach tonight a different Jesus. But I want to ask you tonight, are you trusting in this Messiah? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Or maybe tonight you're blinded by the God of this world. You know, Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross, not only as man, but he suffered as Messiah. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 10 that it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. And after mankind had done his worst, God just turned out the lights. And as the hymn writer says, Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee. And thou wast sore stricken of thy God, there's not one stroke for me. Thy tears, thy blood beneath it flowed, thy bruising healeth me. You know, it's so easy for us tonight, isn't it, to point to the nation of Israel and say they crucified the Messiah. Or maybe point to the Romans and say they crucified Jesus of Nazareth. But you know, in reality, was it the nails, O Saviour, that held thee to the tree? Nay, 'twas thine everlasting love, thy love for me. It was my sin that held him there. Until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. You know, that's the greatest mystery of it all. Remember Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I stood just in the summertime in that very place, just in the Kidron Valley there, and you look across and you see the Temple Mount, where the temple would have stood and all the sacrifices for sin were offered. And then on the other side, you see the Mount of Olives, where the Lord ascended into glory. We were standing there in that Garden of Gethsemane, where the Lord uttered those words in prayer to his Father as he sweat great drops of blood. Lord, if thou be willing, or Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You ask tonight, what was in that cup, or what was that cup? Well, I know it's not good sometimes to take your theology from a hymn, but I believe the hymn writer says it well when he says, death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, it was full for thee, but thou hast drank the last dark drop, 'tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up, now blessings draft for me. See, can you understand it tonight? That not only did this man suffer physically in a cross, but he suffered spiritually. And my sin was compressed through his soul. And Jehovah lifted up his rod and bruised his son for my sake. You know, I love him tonight as the man Jesus. But I trust him tonight as the Messiah Christ. I wonder tonight, do you love him? I wonder tonight, do you trust him? Are you trusting him for your soul's salvation? You know, I have to be honest and say, as a young Christian, for years I struggled with assurance of salvation. And I just couldn't grasp this concept for a long, long time. And so often I used to look back and think about whenever I asked the Lord to save me, was I really sincere? And whenever I prayed that prayer and asked the Lord into my heart, did I really mean it? And whenever I turned from my sin, was my repentance and was my turning from sin, was it as real or as perfect or as good as it could have been? And you know, for years I have to say that I was plagued with doubt and used to wonder oftentimes, was I really saved at all? But you know, the Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and beside me there is none else. And you know, I can look back and say, you know, my praying wasn't perfect. And you know, my faith was so small and so weak. And my understanding of the gospel was so minute. And I was just like that lady that came one day and just crawled on her knees and just touched lightly the hem of her garment. But you know, it wasn't the strength of her touch or the strength of her faith, but it was what she put her faith in. And you know, all those years ago, as a boy of 13, I put my faith, although it was imperfect and shallow and weak, I put it in one who was perfect. One who had lived a perfect life. One who had died a perfect death. One who had ascended into the glory and ever lives to make intercession for me. You know, I couldn't be any more saved tonight or any other night than I was back then, because I put my faith and trust in someone that was perfect. Are you trusting the Messiah tonight? Do you love the man Christ Jesus tonight? But Peter goes on to say, you have crucified Jesus. God has set forth, declared, or appointed him to be Christ, but also to be Lord. You see, not only was this man that was on the cross all those years ago, not only was he the carpenter's son, the man Jesus, not only was he Christ, the Messiah, but he was also Lord, the Master. You see, the word Lord, it just denotes king, it denotes master, it denotes monarch, and you know, he was Lord. Peter says that he was Lord in eternity past whenever he quotes David. Verse number 34, the Lord said unto my Lord, Jehovah said unto my Lord. He was Lord in eternity past. You see that little baby lying in the manger at Bethlehem? He's the Lord of glory. Remember, the angels appeared in heaven and said to the shepherds, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, he was Lord whenever he was out there in the wilderness. None of those beasts could come and touch him, because he was Lord over all creation. You know, as he hung upon the cross, a bleeding spectacle and a bleeding substitute, his visage marred more than that of any man, covered in spittle, stark naked, the crowd mocking and the crowd laughing. He was Lord, because the dying thief turned round and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, whenever he was lying in the tomb there, just a body, he was Lord as well. Because the angel sat at the end of the bed and says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And I want to tell you tonight that he's Lord in glory right now. And he's able to save you right now, because he lives in the power of an endless life. He's Jesus. He's Christ. and He's Lord. Whenever I think about Jesus, I think about His humanity. Whenever I think about Christ, I think about His deity. But oh, when I think about Lordship, I think about His sovereignty. He's sovereign over all things, you know. My Savior is in control, not only of this universe, but also of this life. Maybe tonight you're careering down a lost road that leads to hell. And the Lord has not been given permission to be Lord and Master of your life. You're not in the plan and purpose of God as far as you know it. And whenever the winds and waves come and beat against you, you just cry out in fear, but you don't cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, save me, I perish. You know, as Christ hung upon the cross, He suffered spiritually. He also suffered as the man Jesus physically. But as Lord and as Master, I believe He took my eternal suffering. We might say in those moments of time, He suffered eternally. You know, it's an amazing thing whenever you discover what the Bible speaks about hell. The Bible says hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of suffering. Hell is a place of separation. Hell is a place of darkness. But oh, whenever my Savior was on the cross, and after they'd stripped Him and taken that crown of thorns and put it upon His brow, I can just stand tonight in wonder, amazement and adoration and say, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt in all my pride. You know, God turned out the lights and there's hell's darkness. Christ cried out, I thirst. Remember the rich man said exactly the same thing? Lady said to me just during the week, she says, you know, I believe that this world in which we're living in right now, she says, this is hell. I says, you know, it's not. She says, how do you know? I says, well, my Bible tells me there's no water in hell. She looked out of her garden and there was the dew upon the grass. Christ died on the cross and He said, I thirst. He suffered the pain of hell in those hours upon the cross. He suffered the separation from His Father as He hung upon the cross. Did not the hymn writer say it well when he says, but none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere He found the sheep that was lost. And you know what I find is so amazing? That in all these hours, leading right up to the cross, He was just led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. Whenever I was out in Australia, I had a privilege one day of going to a very large sheep ranch. Thousands and thousands and thousands of sheep all waiting to be sheared. And I'll tell you, as you stood beside them, the noise would have deafened you, all bleating and making noise as they were just going into the shearing parlour. But as soon as the shearer took that sheep and just laid it upon his back and stretched out its legs and began to shear, that sheep just closed its mouth. And there wasn't a mute out of it. And not once do I read about my Savior as He was hanging upon the cross or being led to Pilate's judgment hall or led before King Herod. He didn't once say, do you not know who I am? He didn't once say, do you not know that I'm the Prince of Glory? Do you not know that I am the eternal Son of God? Do you not know that I am your Messiah? No, He suffered in silence. You see, His works and His words and His actions and His life had testified long before as to who He was. And you know, if you're honest tonight, you know exactly who He is. You know exactly tonight who you are rejecting in this meeting. You know exactly tonight that He is the only Savior from sin. And maybe tonight you're still not saved. And yet He hung on this cross that you might trust Him. Amazing thing. You know, we ought to love Him as the man Jesus. And we ought to trust Him as the Messiah Christ. But we ought to obey Him as the Lord Master. You know, the great truth of the New Testament concerning a Christian is the simple truth, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know, whenever Christ comes into a person's life, I believe He does three things. He comes in as resident, Christ in you. He comes in and He is now president, because He wants lordship and dominion over your entire life. And He also comes in and makes Himself evident. I wonder, is there evidence tonight that you're really saved? If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. You know, I don't believe in any such thing as taking Christ as Savior but not taking Him as Lord. Because this same Jesus whom your sin has crucified tonight, God hath made both Lord and Christ. Jesus does not come into a person's life to set up a democracy. But he comes to set up a dictatorship, and he's every right to, because his will is good, acceptable and perfect. Hudson Taylor said, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Amazing thing is that the Bible says that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I don't know if you've ever sheared a sheep or tried to shear a sheep or seen a sheep being sheared, but have you ever seen whenever they take the fleece off it? It just comes off. If a shearer's doing the right job, it'll just come off in one piece. And you'll never be able to get the fleece back in the sheep. And all the dust and all the dirt is taken away, and that sheep stands almost as a new creature, white. And whenever you trust Jesus Christ the Lord, he'll take your sin away for all eternity. He'll never be remembered against you anymore. And you'll be cleansed and made white as snow. Some of you have been halting between two opinions for years. You know, I've been coming to this church since 1999. And I'm still hearing the same people being prayed for, and you're still not saved. And maybe tonight this is your night. And this Savior that has died upon the cross with those nail-pierced hands, and the love and the mercy and the grace and the compassion in his eyes, is stretching out his hands to you tonight, and he's saying, come now. Let us reason together. Come and let's talk about this. Let's discuss this. Let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Is this your night tonight? Maybe you sat through the gospel mission for 2 weeks. And maybe you've said within yourself, you know, I would need to see to these things. But you've jumped out and you've got into the car and you've driven home and you're still not converted. Still outside of Christ. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, and with these words I finish, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know, every time the gospel is preached, I believe the Spirit of God is moving in a special way. And every time Christ is uplifted, as I have sought to do tonight in the gospel, I believe the Spirit of God speaks. Because the scriptural says in the last book of the Bible, it's written above my head, that the Spirit and the bride say come. And as part of the bride of Christ, I'm inviting you tonight to come. But maybe you're going to trample underfoot once again the blood of the covenant. Having heard that this man that died on the cross was not only Jesus and suffered physically, was not only Christ Messiah who suffered spiritually, but was Lord and Master who took my eternal sufferings on the cross. And if you reject him tonight, it's as if you're taking him off the cross, laying him at the door of this church, and trampling over his body one more time and saying, I will not have this man to rule over me. May God have mercy. Save your soul tonight, and may you come and trust this wonderful Savior who can satisfy for all eternity. God bless you all. Thank you.